Malini Devi Dasi, Vaishnav Etiquette, Part 2. Go Premanande!
Thank you so much. Om Ajnanati Mrindasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. We started the Vaishnava etiquette last, like a couple of weeks ago, and we discussed a few things about Vaishnava etiquette. I just wanted to reiterate a little bit about what this etiquette means and why we should be following it. And last time we discussed that Lord Chaitanya tells Sanatana Goswami that etiquette is an ornament which makes a devotee beautiful and attractive in the eyes of God and in the eyes of the world. So Lord Chaitanya always wanted every one of us to follow certain etiquette so that we want to look good in the eyes of God. So to please Krishna, we have to follow certain things. Not that we have to, but we want to because we want to please Krishna. So we went through a couple of instructions about how to enter the temple, then how to offer obeisances, Panchanga Pranam, Ashtanga Pranam. Then we also discussed how to take darshan of the deities, and then what are the proper ways to sit down, and how to handle kartals and other sacred items. Today we are going to do the part 2 of Vaishnava etiquette, and it is about addressing and honoring devotees. Narada Muni instructed to Dhruva Maharaj, he said that when one meets a person more qualified than himself, he should be very pleased. When he meets someone less qualified than himself, he should be compassionate towards him. And when he meets someone equal to himself, he should make friendship with him. In this way, one is never affected by the threefold miseries of this material world. In that purport, Srila Prabhupada says that the opposite happens generally in our dealings, that when we meet someone more qualified than us, we become envious. That's the first reaction happens, which is opposite to what we are supposed to be pleased and getting instruction from them. And then when we meet someone who is less qualified than us, we just try to dominate over them, like thinking that he doesn't know or she doesn't know, then we just go and take over them. And when we meet equals, then we try to be proud of ourselves and try to boast about ourselves. So Prabhupada says that we should avoid all these three anarthas. And when we see someone more qualified, then inquire. When we see someone who are less qualified than us, then like treat them with compassion. And then equals, just maintain friendship. So the essence of this slide is that we have to recognize that who is more qualified than us, who is equal to us, and who is a junior to us. So based on the categories, the three categories, one who is less qualified than us or who is chanting the holy names of Krishna, when we see them, we should actually mentally offer our respects to them within our mind. And if you see a devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation, one should offer their obeisances physically. And with the pure devotee of the Lord, who is advanced, we should actually serve them and try to inquire from them submissively. These are the instructions given by Rupa Goswami on how to deal with devotees. So the essence is the same, is try to recognize and act in that proper perspective. These kind of etiquettes, like seeing who is senior, who is junior, Prabhupada followed them a lot. And he instructed his disciple Pradyumna Prabhu. In one of his memories tape, Vaisheshika Prabhu advised me to listen to that, and I listened to it. And he was saying that one day he went to see Prabhupada, and in that room there were other devotees who were sitting along with Prabhupada. And he wanted to go and listen to Prabhupada very carefully. So he moved up close to Prabhupada a little bit. and there was one of his god brothers who was senior to him. So he just moved a little closer to Prabhupada, and he went little farther. And then Prabhupada told Pradyumna Prabhu that he's your elder brother, he's your da, like da da da, they say in Bengali. So you should try to be like submissive, and you should try to respect them. So you should not sit in front of him, but you should sit little back. So the essence is that we should recognize that they are senior to us, they're elder to us, so we have to give them proper honor and respect accordingly. We were just talking about seniors, juniors, and then we come to the spiritual generations. And Vaisheshika Prabhu was just talking that Krishna doesn't want to reveal himself just like that. He just would tell about himself only to his close associates. And so we have to know about Krishna through his devotees, through disciplic succession. So this disciplic succession has been existed like from the beginning. Like Krishna also says that evam parampara praptam. So this is there since the beginning. And it is flowing down from Krishna through the disciplic succession, through our spiritual master to us. So we follow the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. It flows from Krishna to Brahma to Madhva to Gaudiya to Srila Prabhupada, to his disciples, to us. So in these generations and their relationships between junior and senior Vaishnavas, allow the mercy, Lord's mercy, to flow freely from Krishna. Like it's like if you want the water to flow properly, you have a channel. If you have a channel, then you just, the water source is here, and the end, if you want to reach to your fields, you actually have a channel, so it flows straight to you. If you don't have a channel, and this water just flows everywhere, and you won't be able to get the complete effect of it. So the channel is very important, and then this is we have the channel, like Srila Prabhupada started ISKCON, and then he gave us an opportunity to continue, like keep on adding to that channel. So in ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada actually initiated disciples throughout the world. And we have like some of Prabhupada's disciples, honor that they are here. Like we have Vaisheshika Prabhu, we have Satyadev Prabhu, we have Akrurnath Prabhu, and many other senior Vaishnavas here who are Prabhupada disciples. That's the first generation. And the next generation is us, most of us who are here, like who are disciples of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Like I had some pictures of some devotees who were just taking initiation so that you could relate to. So I just found someone. I had a picture of Ramananda Sakha Prabhu getting initiation, and then Prabhuji is getting his Brahman initiation. And then Raseshwari Leela is getting her initiation. So we are all like second generation. And the first generation devotees, like Vaisheshika Prabhu, Satyadev Prabhu and all, like they are like Shiksha Gurus or Diksha Gurus. So the gradations are there. And Prabhupada was wrote a letter, and in that letter he pointed out that you all sit in a car. Like he was explaining to his disciples that I sit in a car, and along with me, you all sit in the car. We are all in the same car. Doesn't mean we are all the same. Like impersonal Brahman thing concept. Like you and I both are the same. He says the gradations are there. That Srila Prabhupada is on a different level than others. So in that way, like we have to recognize that these are generations. The devotees who are senior to us. We have to recognize this. So based on what we heard right now, like within the Vaishnava tradition, it is important to express our humility to respect those who are in a senior position than us. And the goal is, we are doing all of these things just to please Krishna, because Krishna says, you follow the etiquette, that will be pleasing to me. And in that, seniority is actually based on these things. Like the first, the senior most among all the Vaishnavas is your guru. The guru is actually representative of Krishna. So you treat your guru on a level equal to Krishna, but not as Krishna, but as a servant or representative of Krishna. Next are the sannyasis, who have taken the sannyas initiation. And even amongst the sannyasis, whoever has taken the sannyas initiation earlier is a senior sannyasi, like in that way. And gurus, god brothers, and god sisters, they are also... Gurus, god brothers, and god sisters are to be treated on an equal level as guru. So same respect has to be given to gurus, god brothers, and god sisters. Then devotees who have taken Brahman initiation, you have to also respect them. And the devotees who have taken initiation before you also should be considered senior to you. And special respect should be given to the elderly devotees. This is the sequence. And the idea is not to exercise power or something like that. The idea is just to understand what is our position, and so that we can give proper respect to those devotees. All these senior devotees, they are all actually practicing the Trinala Pisuni Chena verse. So even if you don't respect them, they don't take it that, oh, such and such person did not respect me. They're very humble in their heart. But it is our duty to show respect to others. So going on the line of respecting, there are certain ways we address devotees based on the seniority or what their position is. Srila Prabhupada is addressed as His divine grace. And many times we also, when we do Premadhvani prayers also, we say it's divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. And Guru and Sannyasis are addressed as His Holiness. And initiated devotees are said His Grace. You can say His Grace. Or for Matajis, you can say Her Grace. And aspiring devotees can be addressed as Bhakta or Bhaktin. So these are some of the ways followed while you're formally addressing someone, or while you're writing, if you want to introduce someone, you just address them in a following way, you can say like His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu, His Grace Satyadev Prabhu. But in regular, when you just talk to a person, you don't have to like say all the time that His Grace so and so. You can just say Vaisheshika Prabhu or Satyadev Prabhu or Akrunath Prabhu. But we should know these things so that when it has to be like formally introduced, if you want to formally introduce someone, then you can say that.
When we are invoking this His Grace or Her Grace, what does grace context mean here?
Grace means mercy. So we are just respecting that person. Prabhu, is that okay, Prabhu?
Well, people used to ask us that all the time on Sankirtan. Because they look at the book and they go, what does it mean is divine grace anyway? Actually, most of the time people become envious because they say, why is He as divine grace? We always told people that it means that He's bringing the grace of God. Mm. He's living in grace. Living in grace means that you're living for God. Mm. So somebody who's in grace, who's giving grace, it's actually a very pleasant title if you think about it. His grace, His grace, the grace of God.
The word His refers to Krishna or other person whom we are addressing?
Actually, you can think of it as both, because you're saying that, it's Krishna's grace that this person is able to, have service or whatever. It's Krishna's grace. I don't know the history of His Holiness, but it's a distinctive title that's always been used. I don't know when it first started being used. I can't tell you.
Prabhuji, I've seen here in America that people or devotees, they short form their names when they say Yes, and like, you know, I was there in LA in the Srimad Bhagavatam class, and one of the god brothers of Gopi Parandaran Prabhu, he had a question, and then he started saying Gopi. So and we have like we have some devotees like I mean, you also, you know, sometimes say that I'm Vaish and it's Akura and then Satya, whatever. So I wanted to like I mean, I feel it very uncomfortable whenever I hear such things, and then, you know, someone else may also pick up that saying such things.
You'll find that a lot in America and Australia. There's a, you know, Americans and Australians have a penchant for shortening. So my name's, you know, William. Someone will call me Bill, or something. You know, it's like your name's James. Hey, Jim. Or it's just something that people do. Generally, really, it's kind of a way of affection when people shorten names, like you know, Krishna's Kanai, or you know you know, it's a form of really kind of intimacy when you're able to call somebody by a short name. You know, hey, Satya. Yeah, Vaish. You know, because we're friends. And in a more formal environment, it is nice to keep the etiquette. And that's kind of what Malini's bringing up, is when you're addressing in a formal environment, you know, you'll say that. I introduce myself as Vaish mostly to people I meet on the street, because they'll say Vaisheshika Das, and they'll go, what? And so, you know, just say, just call me Vaish, you know. And they'll say, okay, Vaish. It is nice to be conscious, and to use the more formal terminology, especially when you're in public, when you're addressing senior devotees. It creates what Malini's bringing out here is a sense of respect, and it's very nice. So, you know, we can be careful of that ourselves when we do it, and we'll find a special kind of devotion in doing that. But it's also not offensive for someone who's close to you to call you by a shortened name. It's just natural. You know, I don't always call Satyadev, you know, His Grace Satyadev Prabhu, because we're so close. But I do a lot of times, you know, when I'm talking about him to other people, I'll refer to him that because I have so much respect for him. Or, you know, even when we're talking in more serious kinds of conversations, I'll refer to him in a more respectful way. So, yes, Akura.
Couple of things, but one thing is, you know, we're talking about Vaishnava etiquette, but also wherever we go in every culture, you know, there is different etiquette. For example, in business, do you address somebody by Mr. So-and-so, or do you address him by the first name, you know? And and it's a cultural thing. You have to get a sensitivity for it. And it may change over time. And, you know, like it used to be that, you know, people would be important to be addressed by their last name until you got to know them well. Speaking of nicknames, if you've ever read any Russian novels, everybody has, you know, a patronym, you know, the name of their father and everything. But among their friends, they all have a nickname. So you have to, it's hard when you read the novels to know, oh, he's talking about that person, because they're nicknames for everybody. So you know. But it's in business correspondence as a lawyer, you know, sometimes I always address opposing counsel with their last name, just because a lot of our letters and stuff, they're going to be read by a judge later, and they want to make sure we're being respectful to each other and things like that. But then a lot of times when you're talking among the people, your clients and things like that, everybody always uses first name. It's just a kind of a cultural thing.
A nice point, Akurinath Prabhu, and I was thinking about in Japan, they're very conscious of how you address. Not only that, there's at least three levels of speech that I know of in Japan, and one of them is casual. Next one is polite, and the next one's super polite. Is there more than that?
Polite or even honorific, just by the language, you're recognizing something.
When I took classes in Japanese, we were taking one class with Satyadev Prabhu. There was a class we were taking that was about, you know, this super polite form of Japanese, and it's different it's a whole different construction. And I've experienced this myself, speaking just regular style Japanese to people in a situation where I should have been honorific. And it's a turnoff for them. Of course, they give you a little allowance because you're a foreigner. But if you start to learn the language and you don't observe these things, then immediately they turn off, because that is the etiquette in the culture, to speak to superiors in a way. And it's not restrictive. You find most people, when they go to Japan, as an example, find themselves feeling very calm, because the society is so defined and there's so much respect between elders and to religious people and things like that naturally in the culture, that you feel it. You feel like there's respect here. It's not just do whatever you want, call people whatever you want. And this is such a nice point that you're bringing out, Malini, about how this makes an atmosphere in our culture also that's very sweet.
There's also one pastime in the same tape where Pradyumna Prabhu was talking. He said that Prabhupada had one of his godbrothers. His name was Kuncha Bihari Prabhu, but he was very elder to Srila Prabhupada, and everyone used to call him just Kunjada. They were never used to call like Kuncha Bihari Prabhu, and they used to call him Kunjada. So it's based on a relationship and how close we are to a person, then you can address. But as Prabhu said, in public it's different.
I've seen some videos where Ramaswar Prabhu is addressing Srila Prabhupada, and he's saying, "Your divine grace, may I do it this way or may I do it that way?"
And same goes also, like, there are some suffixes they use. Brahmachari's name may be suffixed by the term Brahmachari. Like, we don't have any Brahmacharis here, but if you have a Brahmachari, like, you'd say the name Brahmachari. And Grihastha's name may be suffixed by Adhikari, like, His Grace Vaisheshika Das Adhikari, or His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu, like, there's some suffixes. And Sannyasi's name should be suffixed by Maharaj, or Goswami, or Swami. Many times, when we have visiting sannyasis here, we introduce them to everyone saying, sannyasi has come, then we should show respect by saying, His Holiness Keshav Bharati Maharaj or Keshav Bharati Goswami is here. Like, it's just a way of respect, showing respect to them. And there's also another prefix that they sometimes, Prabhupada also uses Sriman, like as a way to show respect, like Sriman is like some respected person.
Can you tell us a little bit about what those titles mean, the Goswami and Adhikari?
Goswami means one who has controlled his senses, Swami or Goswami. I don't know about Adhikari, Prabhuji.
It means qualified, right?
One. Yes. The prophet used it for when somebody was Grihastha.
Yeah, adding Adhikari. But literally it means it's a kind of a qualification.
I read something somewhere recently, and I don't want to speak out of school because I don't remember whether I read it in some authorized place or exactly where I read it, but that there's these words like Thakur. In Bengali society, they have caste meanings too. You know, like Rabindranath Tagore it's the same name, Thakur, like we say so-and-so Thakur. So Adhikaris were from one caste and Thakurs were from another caste, and Bhattacharya was Brahmana, and, you know, or things like that. So they have, but we haven't incorporated that in ISKCON. We're all just Adhikaris or Swamis.
One more question I have. Typically in ISKCON bigger centers, we have Brahmachari ashram. So is it okay for grahasthas like me to stay in those Brahmachari ashram? Because I always internally feel non-qualified to go inside even those Brahmachari ashram, but quarters where devotees are staying. But every time when, you know, 2-3 times when I'm serving my Guru Maharaj, we have, you know, asked to move inside, you know, stay there. So is it right for us to get into those Brahmachari ashram for grahasthas?
We highly recommend it. Every day that you can spend in a setting like that will give you more impetus in your devotional service. And if you're invited in that environment, then you should take full advantage.
The idea behind all these prefixes, suffixes, is that we have to consider the other person as Prabhu. And we address each other as Prabhu many times. We should be doing it all the time. And Prabhu means master. And Prabhupada said that you should not just use it mechanically, but you should meaningfully apply it. And Prabhupada said everyone should feel himself as a servant and not to think himself Prabhu because he's being called Prabhu. And there's also a quote from Emerson, "Every man I meet is my superior in some way. In that way, I learn from him." So our attitude should be that we are a servant and the other person is master. Vaisheshika Prabhu was just quoting like, "Das, das, 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 anu das." So that should be within our heart. And the advanced devotees, even though we want to we call them any like His Holiness Prabhu or anything, they never feel that they are Prabhu. They always feel that they are servant. I am your servant. So we should also try to be in that mood, like try to practice the Trinada Pisunichena verse and try to be a servant, not the master. So when we call Prabhu to others, we should actually try to mean it before we call it. And I heard a lecture from Radhanath Swami Maharaj that when he had some brahmacharis in his ashram, in the brahmachari ashram, they moved in and they were friends earlier, like from before. So the rule in the ashram was that as soon as you move in, you should call each other as Prabhu. But these two devotees were having very difficult time to call each other Prabhu because they were a very close friend or something. But they wanted them to practice that, to feel that he's Prabhu or the other is master. And then after like a lot of effort, then they started calling each other as Prabhu. And then Maharaj was saying that these people really take it seriously about the word Prabhu. It's not that just they just call each other Prabhu because they really want to mean it before they say it. So we should have that mood. And I always taught Bhagavad Gita, like when we were preaching about Bhagavad Gita, I always used to like Emerson, Gandhi, they all read it. But I never knew who Emerson was, so I just thought everyone would be interested in just seeing him, who Emerson was. Yes, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhuji.
When we say Prabhuji, is that just making it softer? So are we allowed to use that for senior devotees also, like calling them Prabhuji? Or should we call superior devotees Prabhu?
I use Prabhuji. Prabhuji is like respecting again. Respecting. They use a lot in India, like Prabhuji, like they call it. So Prabhu or Prabhuji is the same. Do you have anything? Yes, Prabhuji, I have water. Now that we have heard a little bit about senior devotees, how should we honor, respect, address? There are certain ways where we can show respect to them. And the first thing is that when you see a senior Vaishnava come in, if you're sitting, you just get up, you just go and offer your obeisances. That's a sign of respect. You show it to others and give them a proper seat. Like if you're sitting and if they just come into the temple, then show them a proper place to sit down. Like we have so many devotees, all of them, they practice here, like they have this in their consciousness that as soon as someone comes in, they give a proper seat. And I remember that when I was young, in our house, we used to have like four chairs and a small bench, like where three people could sit down. And then if the seven spots were filled and some guest comes in, like an elder person, then we were trained, like my parents taught me that as soon as an elder person comes in, you just stand up, you give them your seat, and if you don't have any other place, you sit on the floor. So that respect for the seniors is there. Like, it's followed in most of the cultures also. So we just try to, if you have to give up our seat, you just give them a proper place to sit down. And sometimes devotees, they don't want to sit on the same level as the senior devotees, but it's not required that you should, but if it's your feeling within your heart, it's your intention that you want to give respect to the senior devotees. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. I just wanted to bring a point where Mataji said we give respect to whoever comes in. I have seen in my family, like my father or any other elderly person, they usually sit in one chair and they don't want to change in that place. So other people, we always wanted to sit in that chair, but whenever the elderly person comes in, we would immediately get up and then offer that place to that person. So we always would think, okay, this chair is so precious kind of thing. We always have to enjoy that, but whenever the elderly person comes in, we would immediately get up and then offer that person the chair. I just wanted to share that.
Thank you, Mataji.
I liked your comment about how there's a culture here in this temple room when people come in that other devotees are aware of them. And I think this fits in now, if I can say it. Just that I think it's really important to the atmosphere of the temple that whoever walks in, that we go out of our way to make sure that they're comfortable. Anybody who walks in this temple is an advanced devotee. You can just assume that, because otherwise why would they be here? And we should feel like that. It includes making sure that they feel welcome. It's not only just about putting a seat, but it's also how you put the seat and how you greet them, how you smile at them, how you make them feel welcome, and make sure that they're on the same page. We should always make sure to look around and see the environment and make sure that whoever's in the room is being included, that, you know, somehow or other there's nobody being left out. We should all have that collective consciousness. This is called parallel service in the service industry. An example is like in a restaurant. Here's non-parallel service. Someone's sitting at a restaurant table, and there's a waiter walking around, and there's several waiters, and they have different stations. It's divided up who they'll take care of in the restaurant. So the customer says, "Excuse me, waiter, can you tell me what time it is?" And the waiter says, "Sorry, that's not my station." That's non-parallel service. So parallel service means that, you know, everyone looks out for everyone else. You don't say, you know, that's not my job. But our main job is to honor devotees, and anyone who walks in is a devotee, and that creates a really nice atmosphere. Thanks for bringing that up, Malaniba. Hare Krishna.
And also, like, most of the time it happens that we do a standing kirtan, and later then we sit down for Narsinga prayers. And at that time, like they may not have, everyone may not have seat to sit down. So, like, we should be conscious that we provide proper seat for them to sit down. And the hearing part, that we should always be inquiring and be very attentive while we are hearing, especially with the advanced devotees, because even one instruction from them actually changes our heart. So we should be very careful while we are listening to their classes or hearing from them. Serving prasadam is a very nice way to express our gratitude and to show respect. And Hansapriya is here who actually goes out of her way to make sure that everyone gets prasadam. And at the same time, she makes some special arrangement to the senior devotees here. She makes sure that their plates are made first, because she has that respect and honor within the heart. So we should all, I'm sure every one of you already has it, but just to increase our awareness that we should be serving them properly. And taking prasadam, taking their plates, It's not like a race or something, just go and grab and run. It's just take the permission from them first that if you can take the plate. And I also like the Maha Maha Prasadam. Like, that's the best part. So for those who don't know about the Maha Maha Prasadam, the remnants left by these advanced devotees, you can take them because you can get those qualities. So that's also another advantage. Yes, Prabhu?
I'm just thinking of in Chaitanya Charitamrita and also in Vaishnav culture and etiquette, this isn't something that you can always apply, but you should be aware of it. For instance, when Mahaprabhu would sit down with all his devotees, no one would take prasadam until he started taking prasadam. Mm-hmm. You should just be aware of this and just notice it. You know, when you're in an environment where, like, for instance, if you're in an ashram somewhere, you'll notice. And then the other thing is that generally it's observed when you're sitting and having prasadam with devotees that you don't get up until the senior devotee gets up, unless you really have to go, and then you take permission to get up and go. So, like at Govardhan Ashram, the senior sannyasi is usually Jayadwaita Maharaj, and he'll take prasadam, and then if we're finished first, which we are because he eats really slow, you know, we'll sit there until he's finished and just have conversation. And then as soon as he gets up, then you'll see everyone else get up too. Unless, you know, you have to go make a phone call or something like that, in which you say, Maharaj, may I take your permission and leave. This is also part of the etiquette for being with devotees taking prasadam.
Right. Thank you. Another point is, like, do not argue. Like, we always inquire but not argue with them. If we have a difference of opinion, then inquire and clarify rather than argue with the devotees. And go out of your way to serve them. Actually, these are all like little drops of mercy, because whenever, like, Bhagavatam also says that you have to serve devotees and then you'll be able to get the qualification to chant. So, like, I just try to pick up the small things also, like if the senior devotees are coming with a lot of things in their hands, just offer to help and take them from their hands. It's not very significant, but just something little, just to show your respect and honor for them. And the idea is that even these small things, like, for example, if you, the example is given that a father and a son, the child may not have money to buy anything or something like that, but sometimes a child takes a banana, whichever is there, already bought by the father. He goes and gives it back to the father. The father knows that he did not buy it for him, but just this gesture actually pleases the father very much. So if our relationship with our seniors is like that, so we try to do something little bit, but which pleases their heart. And ultimately, if the devotee is pleased, then the Krishna and Krishna is pleased. So that should be our intention. Next is this Nirmalya part. Like, Nirmalya means garlands, flowers, chandan, charanamrita, ghee lamp, and tulsi leaves offered to the Lord during the puja. That is called Nirmalya. And then it is passed around to all the devotees for them to honor it. So when we do the ghee lamp to Krishna, then whoever is responsible for to take it out to the devotees should make sure that first it's offered to Prabhupada, the ghee lamp. And then that ghee lamp should be offered to the senior devotees, like we have Vaisheshik Prabhu, Satyadev Prabhu, Akrurnath Prabhu, and then to other devotees like initiated and everything. You don't have to follow the exact order, but if you just have that in your consciousness, that it has to be offered to the senior devotees first, then it is good. And sometimes that if you miss the order, don't be upset that you missed the order. It's okay as long as you have it in your consciousness. And the other thing is, like, when we have the water which has been offered to the deities, we go and we just try to sprinkle on everyone. Same, it has to be first offered to Prabhupada, but not like just sprinkling it just like that, because it comes and hits on the face, and sometimes on glasses, and sometimes even wet the clothes. So take the water little bit in your hand, then sprinkle on Prabhupada's head, then take a little bit and start offering to Prabhupada disciples first, and then to others. And if we have like lots of devotees during festival where we cannot go individually and put on their head, then probably we can use a spray instead of just throwing it on everyone. It's very inconvenient, especially when guests are here. And generally the devotees who do it, I don't know if they are here in the class, but whatever you have heard today, you can actually share with others so that they are also aware. Kartals. Actually, last time also we talked about kartals, but we want to go a little bit more in detail today. That actually leading kirtan, if you are asked to lead a kirtan, it's actually a great honor because we are representing the entire congregation to Krishna. So it's a great responsibility leading kirtan. And devotees who are assisting the kirtan leader, like devotees who are playing kartals, midanga and others, they should always follow the leader. Like they should, while the leader is playing a beat, the kartal player should follow the beat rather than going in their own direction. And they should not go faster. Like if they feel like it should go faster, they should not force the leader to go faster. Instead, if the leader wants to go fast, then they should follow. And kartal temple is not a place to practice. Like kirtan is not a place to practice kartals, but you practice at home, and then when you're a little expert, then you can come and play in the kirtan. And sometimes it's that when you're playing kartals, the leader might correct you, saying that either you're going too fast or too slow, or he might ask you to stop. So don't be offended by that, because the leader is trying to represent the congregation to Krishna, so we should understand the mood and not get offended by it. So it's just to understand that you have to follow them, not that you have to overtake the kirtan and want to play according to your own way. So in that same sense, that if you are handing out kartals to other devotees while the kirtan is going on, make sure that you give the kartals to those devotees who are expert at playing. Don't give them to anyone. And it's a very sacred item and not a toy. And I've seen personally that children are very attracted to kartals. But we shouldn't be giving them the kartal. Like even if you see some children playing with the kartal, please ask them to put it back. Politely, but ask them to put it back. And there are other alternatives, like you can have shakers. And I've seen that Shamsundar has paper kartals. Like they don't make sound. They're just kartals, but it doesn't make sound. So you can be creative. But and keep them in a box. Like if you see them on the floor, then just make sure you just put it in the box. Anything else from you?
Thank you.
Double thank you.
The next part is the dancing role for the deities. There is just short presentation. There's just a short presentation, and then we'll have an actual demonstration. Like Brajakishori Prabhu is going to teach us how to dance, and she's going to show us some steps that we can follow. Yeah. In Dwarka Mahatmya, the importance of dancing before the deity is stated by Lord Krishna as follows. A person who is in jubilant spirit, who feels profound devotional ecstasy while dancing before me, and who manifests different features of bodily expression, can burn away all the accumulated sinful reactions he has stocked up for many, many thousands of years. There's more. In the same book, there's a statement by Narada wherein he asserts, from the body of any person who claps and dances before the deity, showing the manifestations of ecstasy, all the birds of sinful activities fly away upward. So you can see the birds are flying here.
Yeah.
And it's explained that when you clap, the birds on the tree actually just go away. So same as the sinful reactions within our body. Just you clap and you dance, they just go away. Can if you're an ecstasy. I couldn't find a better picture, so I'm sorry. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like following the disciplic succession, we want to see how the parampara, from the parampara, Lord Chaitanya used to dance in ecstasy all the time. We see that many prayers like Udila Aruna, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dancing all the time in kirtan. He dances with his arms raised and he sings. So, and all the associates of Lord Chaitanya also, they used to dance in kirtan. They used to really dance in ecstasy. In this picture you can see that. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a lot of importance to dancing. He, during the Rath Yatra pastime, he carefully, very meticulously divided groups. Like for the Rath Yatra, there were total 7 groups. Like 4 groups of devotees in front of the Rath Yatra, in front of Jagannath's cart, one on each side and one in the rear. And for each group, Mahaprabhu picked 6 chanters. One was a lead kirtan player and the rest of the 5 were actually responding to the kirtan. And there were 2 mridanga players in each group. And there were designated dancers for each and every group. So Lord Chaitanya actually emphasized that the dancing should be there, like he divided into groups. And once the Rath Yatra started, Lord Chaitanya started also dancing in each group. And everyone thought that Lord Gauranga was in their group because they thought like Lord is just here, he didn't leave. So he was dancing. He was dancing all the time. So it's very important that we dance, not for ourselves. The mood is that we have to dance for Krishna. Like there is a distinction between the normal dance that everyone else does and the dancing that we do in kirtan, because we do it for Krishna, to please Krishna.
I would like to nominate Tirtha Prabhu as a designated dancer.
Hari Bol. Srila Prabhupada also danced. And initially he taught the Swami step. Vraj Kishori will show you soon what the Swami step is. And he used to generally sit on the Vyasasan sometimes, and he used to play kartals, and other devotees used to do the Swami step. That was there initially. And in March 1969 in New York, I read this pastime that Srila Prabhupada indicated Vishnujan Swami to take over the kirtan, and then Prabhupada just stood up. And normally everyone was doing Swami step, but that day Prabhupada actually started jumping up and down. And everyone was like shocked, like, I mean, we only know the Swami step. I didn't know that we could jump. And then Prabhupada started jumping. And after some time, he started running around the temple like a train, like he used to, like he just took devotees around the train circle. Everyone was in ecstasy because that's the first time they saw kirtan could be even like this. So they were dancing like so jubilantly. And I read in the same pastime that people started calling other temples and saying like, you know what, Prabhupada danced and he jumped. Like, you mean literally jump? Yeah, literally jumping. And everyone and all the temples in LA and other places, they also started, you know, jumping in the kirtan. And then I heard that since then the kirtan was never the same as before. So it's a nice way actually to express your happiness while in the kirtan. And I feel personally that kirtan is the only place where you can loosen yourself. Rest of all the places, you have to sit down, listen to the kirtan, listen to the class and everything. But kirtan is something where you can actually express yourself in, like, your happiness you can express. So kirtans are very good. And I heard from Vishnujan Maharaj said that if you stand in the background and don't dance jubilantly, then you won't be able to pick up the desire to join the kirtan without any thought of time, place, and circumstances. Initially, when I joined, when I came across ISKCON, I didn't like Krishna consciousness at all. So when Sri Vas Prabhu brought me the temple and devotees were dancing, I used to think like, why are they jumping like that, you know? And then I used to stand stiff like this, like, and even because sometimes the beads go very nicely, so you want to sway a little bit, but I was thinking, no, I don't want to, I just want to stand straight like this. And soon you think about like, oh my, I forgot to do this at home, I forgot to do that at home, like, instead of actually participating in kirtan, you just get lost instead of being present in the kirtan. And then later, once when I went to San Diego, and then I heard His Holiness Radhanath Swami asking everyone to stand and dance in the kirtan. He said, there's no exceptions, everyone should dance today. And at first time, that's the first time I danced in the kirtan, and that was it, and that's the best experience I ever had. So it allows you to loosen up in the kirtan, and it's the best experience. Prabhupada did it, so. Yeah. And dancing should be graceful and enthusiastic, but not violent and wild. Like, I mean, there should be a line between violent and wild and ecstatic. I mean, Lord Gauranga used to express like different emotions, ecstatic emotions, like his body used to get elongated, his foam used to come out of his mouth. But we cannot imitate those things, like, unless you really feel that ecstasy. So the best way to, I mean, not the best way, best way to chant is to raise your arms like Lord Gauranga did, high in the air, and then do the dance. And many times you don't feel enthusiasm some days. Like, there are some days where you don't feel enthusiasm while you're dancing. I heard in a lecture that when you're not enthusiastic, then you have to act enthusiastically. And that's the place when it's more pleasing to Krishna, because you really don't feel like it, but you're doing it for Krishna. So even though you don't feel enthusiastic, try to act enthusiastic and dance. And automatically you'll feel enthusiastic in a few minutes. And like Tirtha Prabhu is our lead dancer, like, we should follow a lead dancer so that it's a good formation, like, even for Krishna. Krishna is watching us, so when you're dancing, if there is a good formation and devotees are dancing rhythmically, it's more pleasing to Krishna. So we should follow a lead dancer. There are certain formations that you can use to dance, and we have to have a good presentation so that I remember that when we were young, we used to go to this, like for 15th August or some Independence Day celebration, they used to ask us to perform like a drill. Like, we all used to do certain formations and do certain exercises with some colorful clothes, because the collector used to come to watch. So to please the collector, we used to do all those things. So the district collector, like a mayor maybe, I don't know. Yeah, I'm here. So sorry, I don't know. Yeah. So we should think the same way as Krishna is watching. So we have to do different formations and different things. So we just do it like so it's pleasing to Krishna. One formation that we always do is that we try to approach, like dance while approaching and then receding. That's one formation. Then we can also do like circles, like facing Krishna. And some things that has to be avoided. Like, you know. Like you're spinning around with your arms extended. You might get dizzy and you might fall on another person. So it's dangerous, not only for you, but also disturbs the kirtan. And two devotees like cashing, like grasping their hands, they go around.
Another one of our designated dancers has just entered the room.
Rakshit Prabhu, Hari Bol.
Also, I've noted Jitendriya is an excellent dancer. If you've ever seen him dance, he's quite good. I think we have a pretty good crew here. Our technician is not here.
That was the last slide anyways.
Wow!
And like holding each other's hands and just spinning around. Don't do that because you might lose control. You fall on others and probably break something. But not in the kirtan. Yeah. It's actually, it might cause injury to yourself and to others if you just by mistake lose your handle on it.
But actually, I have one question.
Yes, please.
So, regarding this dancing, spinning around, so where is this etiquette coming from? From the Vaishnava Acharyas or, you know, some devotees, they met together and decided, you know, how to dance and all these things?
These are some of the common things that are followed.
But origin is from the Acharyas. I mean, what is the origin of this?
I got this from the etiquette manual, which was written by, one was by Bhakti Charu Maharaj and the other is from the Chaupati temple.
Mm-hmm.
So this was in there. And most of it made common sense also because it's dangerous.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there is any other origin for that.
Yeah, I mean, some of the places where I read this etiquette, they do not mention the source. And that sometimes I get questions, I mean, when I have some silly questions, right, whether to trust the etiquette, because it depends upon who wrote it.
Etiquette actually was written by Sanatan Goswami.
Yeah.
But I don't know if the specific postures on how to dance are given in there.
A lot of the etiquette that we have, as Malini brought up, is coming from Prabhupada, as he showed us some ways to dance. And he also, I was personally present at some kirtans that he stopped because he didn't like how devotees were dancing. One was in Mayapur in 1975, and the devotees, I mean, it was a big year. There were lots of devotees there and lots of young devotees and lots of brahmacharis, probably 99%. And that's a lot of energy in one room, hundreds of them. And they started dancing, and devotees, although they were dancing wildly and spinning, and some of them were actually purposely bumping into each other and things like that. And Prabhupada just picked up on the mood of it. A lot of it has to do with the mood. You know, and Prabhupada stopped the kirtan. He said, this is not correct dancing. And my feeling was it was because he noticed that devotees were having, it was like they weren't doing it meditatively. It's not like you can't have fun and enjoy the others dancing, but if it becomes, you know, you're self-absorbed and you're not actually dancing for the pleasure of the deity and being conscious of the holy name and things like that, then it can go over the top, and Prabhupada stopped it. So, you know, as Malini was saying, a lot of it's common sense, but that means consciousness also. You know, what is the consciousness behind it? What's the consciousness behind the etiquette? Because there's a lot of etiquette also about what to call people, Prabhu or Mataji, this, that. But as she said, it's not what you say so much, it's how and why you say it. And, you know, if your intention is right, actually I've seen people, you know, they don't use the exact right etiquette, but their heart is in the right place. They don't know the etiquette. It's not taken as an offense. Whereas the other thing, you can follow all these little details exactly, you know, how it's done. But if your consciousness isn't correct, it's not right anyway. But very specifically, you know, a lot of the things that Prabhupada showed us how to dance and the mood to dance in, you know, comes from him. And we do read, as we heard here from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, about how Lord Chaitanya danced and how some of his, you know, devotees would dance and things like that. Did that help? Okay.
Another do not is that tossing children, like while your kirtan is going on, we toss the children up in the air. And also that we encourage everyone to dance. But there are some devotees who really don't want to dance, like I was before. So don't force them because they might not be very comfortable dancing. That was, I think that was the last slide. And there was, there is another way that devotees dance, like they form a circle and one person dances in the center, and other devotees just play or music and watch them, and they take turns, and that's okay because it makes them feel enthusiastic, so that's okay also. And here also we see that Lord Gauranga was dancing and others were watching. So, and now we'll have Raj Kishori teach us she'll teach us a couple of steps and on how to dance for men and women. Another point is that in the temple, like men dance on this side and women dance on the other side, just so that we don't bump into each other. Okay. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. So I was wondering if everybody can just stand up and we'll do it together. That way you'll practice at the same time. Hare Krishna. So traditionally we have Prabhus and Matajis, and I heard that Prabhupada was very happy with the way that everybody gets to have a first row. I've heard on a couple of lectures he didn't really like when Matajis were all the way in the back and only Prabhus were in front. He wanted them to be equally divided. One thing that I've noticed about dancing is that when people don't really know how to dance, not because they don't know how to dance, but just because they can't really follow somebody else, they tend to feel very shy and they go in the back and they think they're not really worthy. So a couple of things that will help every single person to dance harmoniously is knowing when somebody changes the steps, what to do next. They'll know what's going on and they'll be able to engage themselves better. So we don't really have much room here, but as of on Harinam, everybody noticed that we do a simple three-step like that, and it always helps to practice that with everybody harmoniously. There are a couple of ways to do this. Either you face each other and you follow mirror-like image when you keep coming towards each other. But I think Harinam is nice for that, but we don't really have much space here. So might as well go back and forth towards the deities and back. That way a lot more people can be engaged in dancing. For Prabhus, I don't really know if Prabhus like to dance much, but I've noticed that the system of having two lines and somebody back and forth is very popular. As I've been to a lot of festivals, I've noticed that a lot of Prabhus tend to be very happy engaged in taking turns, so to say. And then at the same time, you can engage in the three-step all together, but if somebody wants to change and everybody would like to change the dancing, they can form two lines and they can just do the Swami step, and then they can take turns and go back and forth. That way everybody can be engaged and they can take turns and express their feelings through dancing. And I think as far as the circle goes, it's very important not to put your back towards the deities, because that way it's, you know, kind of defeats the purpose of pleasing Krishna. So that's one thing to keep in mind about the circle, is to have it open towards Krishna and kind of shaped that way. And then everybody can engage in dancing in the middle. As far as Matajis go, I tend to notice a lot of people who don't really want to dance. They go up front and they just stand in front of the deities. So I would strongly advise everybody who would like to dance to go back where the dancing party is. Otherwise, it creates a problem. If somebody dances here, then nobody's dancing here. Then if somebody dancing here, and it's like everybody keeps bumping into each other. And that way, if we separate people who don't want to dance in front, they'll be able to take their darshan of deities, and everybody who wants to dance will, can go back and join the dancing party. And another step that you can use is very simple. It's popular for Mataji's, is just this one right here. Also advised, if you do it in a circle, not to put your back towards the deities. It would be nice to have also lessons for kids to dance, because otherwise they keep on walking back and forth and they don't really know what to do with themselves. I also noticed that they tend to go in front. So main point that I actually was meditating on is to keep the front sort of isolated from the dancing and go back towards the dancing there. That way everybody who wants to take the darshan of the deities but don't really feel like engaging themselves in dancing, they can stay and take darshan of Krishna here. And I don't really have anything else to say. Swami stuff is very simple. It's yeah. Which this Swami step is very easy because everybody does it. As far as the beat goes, it's really nice to dance with the beat. It engages you. But I've noticed that if somebody has a desire to dance, they will dance out of their heart, and that's the main point, is to dance with understanding that you know, somebody is there and you don't disturb them, but at the same time be open and express your feelings through dancing while you're chanting Krishna's name. And I think that if anybody has a desire to dance while kirtan is happening, they will find a way to do that. And at the same time, like I said, the lines for Prabhu is very nice. That way everybody can express their artistic way of dancing. And once somebody changes the steps, because I have noticed that people that know how to dance, the leaders of the dance party, they will change the step. It is very important to know what they're doing and just follow it. That way it will create a big harmonious dancing party. So if you see somebody trying to form a line, you kind of form it with them, or you step aside, so it will be better for them to... it'll be easier for them to engage everyone else who wants to. So, practice? It's very simple when you do the Swami step. You sort of sway back and forth. Yeah.
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare.
So we're going to try to form two lines. Let's try this.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
You'll be walking back and forth towards Krishna and back.
Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Leaving a really nice alley for devotees to go back and forth.
Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare.
So Rakshit Prabhu, you're in the middle, so go ahead and go back
Rama,
and forth.
Rama, Hare Rama.
There you go.
Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Do the tirtha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hey, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Rama, Rama Rama. Nitai Gaura Haribo, 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 Haribo.
Nitai Gaura Haribo,
Haribo, Haribo. Nitai Gaura Haribo, Haribo, Haribo. Nitai Gaura Haribo.
Thank you so much. That was really nice. And if we keep doing that, I think we can get in a really good shape. Lots of people really put big emphasis on exercising every day. They pay money, they go to gym, they watch TV, and they waste their life away. But I think if we dance for Krishna like that at least 3 times a week with our heart out, not only going to put us in a really good shape so we can do that more, but it's going to please Krishna very much.
Jai.
Thank you.
Hare so much. Well, thank you very much, everyone, for attending today's special Saturday class. Special thanks to Satyadev Prabhu, who gave us such a meditative and powerful beginning for improving our japa. And then, as usual, Malini's really outstanding presentation. I'm really affected by it. It's very powerful. The depth of research and just the quality of the presentation was so nice. And last but not least, Raji Kishori, who's brought us to a new level of energy. When I looked and I saw everyone with their hands in it makes such a big difference, you know. And I was just thinking how, you know, Krishna consciousness, ultimately, it's experiential. And after watching the slide presentation about the, you know, Shastra saying how dancing frees one from all sinful reactions, and, you know, I just thinking, like, why do anything else? And that's really what that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to do, is just dance and sing. And the Mayavadi sannyasis who were sitting around all day reading Vedanta would say, you know, why don't you read Vedanta? Why don't you dance? And, you know, a lot of the stalwarts in Krishna consciousness, of course, a famous name is Vishnujana. But I remember being in Santa Cruz with him once he came for a festival there. And it went on for like 4 or 5 hours, just he was playing a gong, and he was just going on and on and on and on dancing. And afterwards, everyone feels purified and happy. So thank you very much, Vraja Kishori, for lifting us up. And I think there'll be more instruction as we go further, because I think there's a lot of everyone went from about a 4 to about an 8 just after a little instruction. So please feel free to instruct us more as we go further.
I was just thinking that having it as a regular practice, it would be nice to have at least once a month a meeting where Prabhus meet with themselves, because I don't really feel like I can instruct Prabhus in how to dance. You guys express your feelings much differently than ladies. Ladies like really cute, complicated stuff that makes you look pretty and express with your arms.
Hey, we can be complicated.
So.
Hey, you want some competition or what, you know?
That would be nice. It usually makes people progress much faster when they are trying to beat.
I was thinking
somebody.
It would be nice to have it a little bit choreographed before the Harinam. Because if we go into the Harinam knowing where we lined up, and as you brought out, it's nice, the women don't just stand in the back, but they come out, they share half the arena, and then they're dancing, and the men can be dancing, and if we choreograph that, for part of that, it's very attractive for the public. So
that was one.
Feel
of,
free to line that
the
up
idea
for us.
That, we meet and we talk about how to improve our dancing every month. And once people get used to, once devotees get used to dancing what they've been doing for a month, it'll be very easy for them to add something else. And we can keep improving and improving. And that way, for Harinams, you can learn a specific step that will not affect the crowd, that will be very attractive. And following in the footsteps of my Guru Maharaj, I think that, having presentation outside for people has to be colorful. Everybody should wear dhotis. Everybody should have nice tilak on and look their best. That way we can represent Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission and be very attractive. And dancing is a very big part of it. If you're choreographed and you know exactly what to do, it's much better rather than just standing there thinking, yeah, this is nice, what do I do now? And if you have knowledge of how to engage yourself in harmonious dancing with everybody, you'll feel more happy and ecstatic and less lost, I think.
So we'll have a Dhoti Sari Tying class next. Yeah, we've been thinking about it for a while. We have some good cloth. Ramananda Sakha Prabhu has already stepped up, and we see some others. But we can do that for those who would like to learn how to tie a dhoti. And if you don't want to wear a dhoti, sometime it's also nice. I was thinking one Harinam, we could have everyone at least wear a Harinam chatter. That would be nice. Everyone have a Harinam chatter and make sure it'll be very colorful. If everyone has one color. But definitely we'll have a dhoti tying class coming up soon. Dhoti sari. Most women know how to tie a sari, I think. And I would suggest that we do the choreographed class the Wednesday before the next Harinam. The next Harinam is before, 24th is a Wednesday, and that's Ram Navami. And the Friday before that is our Harinam. So the Wednesday before that, can someone say when that is? 17th, is it? Be the Wednesday the 17th, we could have a class on that. Just to get ready, I would say right before the Artik, so we could practice in the Artik and everyone could be ready. The 19th. 17th. Wednesday the 17th, I declare dancing night here at the temple, getting ready for the Friday. Okay? Friday is the 19th. 17th, we'll have the practice here. We'll do it just after class, right before the kirtan starts, so we can incorporate it, and then we'll take that out onto the streets. Is that okay? So you'll be here, right?
Yeah,
yeah, hopefully.
There.
Yes. One, two, three. Wait. Mm-hmm. Do the three-step, right? Can we try the three-step? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
It's also nice to hear the beat, and that way it will help you know where to step. And usually it's
Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare. Look at Akurnath. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama. Rama Rama.
It's a three step, so you have three main points, and it's one, two, three. Three.
Rama Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama. There you go. Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Practice. A lot. Okay. All right, so we're going to have Guru Puja, and then we're going to have Prasadam, and then today is follow-up Saturday. So we have a list of places where we're going to go today briefly to drop off Prasadam and meet the people that we met last time. And we have it all organized. There's a list. So everyone can take some Prasadam back to some of the people we met just to go and make friends with them and invite them, come back and tell them we're having a dance party that then they can be involved. So, who's doing the Guru Puja today? Ramananda Sagar Prabhu, okay. Akurnath Prabhu is leaving. Haribol!